Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
7 o'clock in Music City. Corey Curtis filling in for a Braden Gall with Titans legend Derek Mason. We are at Sudden Service in Nolensville, 6029 Nolensville Road. It's filling up in here, Mace.
Yeah, it is.
And if you bring some toys or you bring some clothing or you bring some school supplies, you can drop them off. And I think you get a free cup of coffee for the next couple of weeks if you do that here.
Who doesn't want a free cup of coffee?
I definitely want a free cup of coffee. So you got a chance to help a whole bunch of different people in a lot of different ways. You could literally come every day, help a different segment of people, and have a different cup of coffee every day. We've also got a tent right outside, and out there you can drop things off as well, and you can register to win that Nashville Winter Classic jersey, the Nashville Predators Winter Classic jersey, which you would look really nice in.
Yeah, nice. I think I would.
You'd look good.
Yeah,
you'd
thank
look
you.
Good. Preds lost last night 3-2 in overtime. That's right.
But Kyle Turris.
But Kyle Turris scored. They did get a point. And you feel like they did play better. The Titans are definitely playing better. And they are playing an Oakland Raiders team this weekend that had been playing better. Mace, this team was 6-4 and looked like the surprise of the league. And they were in a fantastic situation for the playoffs. And then they went to New York, to the Meadowlands in Jersey, and absolutely
laid an egg.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a clean way to say what I'm saying. I mean, and they lost 34-3 to Adam Gase and the Jets, and then followed it up with a 40-9 beatdown against the Raiders. They've been outscored. Look, they had the playoffs in sight.
They did.
Right in front of them, and they have followed it up by being outscored 74-12.
How can that be? Because you're right. This is an Oakland Raider team. They were on a three-game winning streak prior to playing the Jets.
Now let's look at who they beat.
Yes, you're right.
They're NFL teams, so I say you never apologize. But they beat the Lions, they beat the Chargers, and they beat the Bengals. So there may have been some fool's gold in it, but the fact is if you win, you win.
But they lost to Houston by 3 points.
Yeah, they were right there in that game.
They lost to Minnesota early. They lost to Kansas City early. Kansas City has beaten them.
Beat the
has
Bears,
averaged
beat
has,
the Colts.
Has averaged like 30 points against them
in
two games.
But, I mean, those performances were so bad, it was shocking. And now they've put themselves in a situation where they must win out. But the good news for them is if they can beat the Titans, and they are at home, they have a chance to win out. They've got the Jags at home, and the Jags are done.
Oh my gosh,
are the Jags done. The Chargers are done, and they've got the Chargers, and they've got the Broncos in Week 17. And you can't tell me the Broncos are looking for anything but tee times at that point.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
The Raiders, this is their line in the sand, and they, you know, John Gruden is telling his team right now, guys, the path to the playoffs is still right there for us, and it starts with the Titans. And so the Titans have to be prepared for a massive right hook to start this game.
Yeah, they have to be. If you look at it, and I'm looking at it like it's college football or something, but Oakland leads the series, if you want to call it that.
They won three in a
30
row.
30-20. They've won three in a row. We know about the last time they played in Nashville, what happened. Isn't that the one where they had like they scored on the last drive or some controversy with that whole play in Oakland Raiders? That was a few years ago. But
it's running together.
The Titans have they're in a prime position to basically almost eliminate Oakland from the picture.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, look, it's a must-win for the Titans as well because they've got to go 3-1 down the stretch. And you don't want to have to go 3-0 against the Saints and 2 with the Texans.
Yeah, they got 2 with the Texans and the Saints.
So, and so, you know, you're right. You can you can basically tell Oakland, hey, thanks for playing. We'll see you next season if you win this game.
You started off pretty good, but now you're going to be exiting stage left.
Yeah.
But the Titans, if they take care of business starting this week, then they put themselves in a position back here at home against the New Orleans Saints, which is going to be a daunting task because New Orleans, they're in a position, too, to not only get themselves in a playoff, which they right now they are, but they could win, you know, their division. They could get a first-round bye if they continue to win.
Well, not just that. They want to have the dome.
Yeah, they want to be at home.
They want to be at the dome all the way through the playoffs, so they are going to be playing. So it will be a difficult, difficult task. But when you look at this Raiders team with John Gruden, you know, I don't want to say they're similar to the Titans because they're not there yet, but they run the football. Mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs, rookie from Alabama, has 1,060 yards. I think he's already got like the Raiders rookie record, and the offense rolls through him.
Offense rolls through him in the tight end. If you understand anything about John Gruden, he's from that, you know, that era of short passes, tight ends, crossing routes. He tries to confuse the defense, but he wants to run the football. That was him in Oakland when he was there prior to this time. That was them in when he was with Tampa. That's just the way his offenses flow. And they were able to somewhat do that. Now, obviously, we know what happened with them, the whole debacle with Antonio Brown. But I think that made them a better team moving forward. The Titans, again, the Titans have an opportunity to go to Oakland and continue their quest to make the playoffs. But they're going to have to continue to do the things that they have done for the last five games. And what is that? Well, run the football, play action pass, and then get those chunk yardage down the field. Now, here's the thing with Oakland. They love to play because they have – you know, big. They have physical corners. This is Oakland's style of play. They love to play, you know, in your face and all the other stuff. The Tennessee Titans receivers, this is where all this stuff comes into play. They are great when the defender is 5 yards off of them, 6 yards off them. They're great. They can run. They're physical. They're big. They catch the ball, and they get up the field. That's what I love about Corey Davis whenever he does catch the ball or whenever they throw it to him. And then
two targets a game doesn't do it.
Yeah, that does it. And then Brown, when he catches the ball, he's a violent runner. But when teams press them, when teams get up on them with physical, they have a hard time getting open. And for two guys that are 6'1", 6'3", respectively, 220 pounds, that shouldn't be the case. And it is, and that's a problem.
Well, it's going to be a problem this weekend, I think exacerbated by the Raiders' deficiencies inside.
Yeah.
They're down to Will Compton, who they just picked up about 3 weeks ago, starting at inside linebacker.
Oh, wow.
I mean, so you're thin at that situation. And if you're the Titans and you're looking, what are we going to exploit? It's going to be the middle of the field.
Yeah.
And so you're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry. Regardless, you're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry. But I expect this to be another – I expect him to be over 100 for the fourth game in a row. I really do. But I think this is also a game where you have to look to Jonnu Smith and you have to look to Adam Humphries, you know, to try to exploit the middle of that field for the Titans.
Well, you're going to have to because the Titans are – they're good, obviously, when they're play-action pass. But Adam Humphries has come. He's made some big catches the last couple of weeks. Obviously, the touchdown last week, it was a tough run. Caught the ball, got up the field, got hit, spent, and dove in to the end zone. That was a tough catch. Not a tough catch, but a tough run after the catch. They got to be able to throw the ball down the middle of the field. Khalif Raymond is another guy that's going to have to make another big play within his offense.
That was such a good roster move, and I said it when it happened, because he gives them something they did not have, and that was speed. And we have seen it shown up repeatedly now.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. And it's that the whole thing of when you get something you didn't have, it just jumps out at you, and it jumps out at you that they did not have this guy who can absolutely run. And has shown you, when you give him the opportunity, he will make you the play. I think that's even more important.
He's shown that you can trust him. And that's the one essential thing that a head coach an offensive coordinator and the quarterback must have in the guy that they're throwing the ball. That I can trust when I throw the ball out there that it's either, A, you're going to catch it or nobody's catching it. Two, you're going to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. And Khalif Raymond has done both of those things. He's caught the ball when they've thrown it to him, and he's been at the position or the spot that they've asked him to be at when he's supposed to be there. You can't ask for anything more from a young guy that's, you know, a guy that didn't play much or at all at the beginning of the season.
He was on the practice squad.
Yes, and then all of a sudden he's thrust in there. He's a guy that was prepared. He didn't have to get prepared. He was prepared to play.
He's the epitome of the John Robinson player.
Absolutely.
A guy who's been cut three times. He's not big enough, but just keeps going. But man, that little guy can run. It was awesome to see him score that touchdown. Mm. His mom made the trip to the game, uh-huh. Ran over and gave her the football. I mean, it's been a long journey, you know, and you like to see those guys rewarded. But more than a good story, he's helping make the Titans offense better. And I think that's the big key to that as this team looks to, you know, to try to make a move. And they've scored over 30 points mm-hmm. in their last three games. Again, run game and special teams mm-hmm. have a lot to do with it as well. And a defense, you know, you look at these last three games, defense has scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
Rashawn Evans. You look at, you know, special teams has scored a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And you look at the defense and the amount of turnovers that they're coming up with. How many good opportunities Ryan Tannehill and the offense have been put in. Even this last week, uh-huh. Kevin Byard gets the pick. They only got 3 points. That was a fail. I mean, you got to get seven
yeah.
in that situation. But so, you know, we always hear complimentary football. Uh-huh. You know, we're seeing a lot of complimentary football. And while they've said the Titans are the second highest scoring team in the league over the last 6 weeks, we're seeing their defense have
it's
a
not
lot
all
to do
offense.
With no,
it's not all the offense.
Go to the Tampa game.
Yeah.
You can handle the ball inside the 10 twice.
Yeah.
You better score 14 points.
Exactly. You look at the Cleveland game. The defense gave them opportunities,
yep.
You know, at playing on a short field. Now, the special teams this past game, they get two blocked field goals, one return for a touchdown. They have fake punts that they yep. are, you know, that they are designing and they're working.
Yep.
So they're trying to win this sort of unconventional way other than what they do on an offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
They're doing these things special teams wise that are getting them those hidden points
well, look,
and those hidden yardage that they talk about.
Built to get the ball at the 10-yard line and go 90.
No. They're not built that way. They're not built to come back if they're down 10 points.
But they're doing it, and they're yeah. doing it by being themselves.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing there. They've down 10 points this week, mm-hmm. down 10 points to the Colts in the second half. They ran the ball down the field. I think that's the biggest compliment to Arthur Smith and the offensive staff and even Mike Vrabel, who's the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't panicked.
Yeah.
And they've stayed true to themselves. I always say in the movie The Matrix, there was uh-huh. that sign that said, "Know thyself." And the Tennessee Titans, it took them 8-9 weeks.
Uh-huh.
They finally know thyself, and they're on the cusp of making the playoffs, which is very, very exciting. We've got more Titans talk, a roster move to talk about when we continue as we talk about this race to the sixth seed in the AFC and possibly an AFC South title. Mace?
Absolutely. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Men out there, you need to listen. It's getting cold, the end of the year, you're getting older. I'm getting older. My birthday's next month. I'll be 46. Felt a little lethargic, a little tired.
You look lethargic.
Yeah,
tired.
I know. It's just one of those days, Corey. It's one of those days. You know, but what I chose to do is go to Cool Springs MD. And my good folks over there, man, they will take care of you. Because I've been telling you this for almost a year now. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne, along with that wonderful and experienced staff, they will give men, all men, the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, because I'm in Franklin, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system. It's getting cold, and the flu season is sort of kind of around, I think, maybe. And, guys, we do get sick, and when we get sick, we act like the biggest babies in the world. So to alleviate all of that, go see the good folks at Cool Springs. Not only will they improve your immune systems, but your energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And who doesn't want that? And there's no better time now to achieve a healthier lifestyle. What are you waiting on, man? Get Cool Springs MD a call today. Make that appointment today, not tomorrow. Today. Here's the number. Put it in your phone. Save it. Pull over. Write it down if you got a pencil or a pen. 615-486-3458. 615-486-3458. Or visit the website, coolspringsmd.com.
Wait a minute, Mace. When did the NFC pass the AFC?
This year?
Yeah, they did. We were just looking at the NFC playoff pictures, and my gosh, you've got right now the Saints and Seahawks at 1-2 with a bye. Throw them out of it. I mean, just throw them out of it. And what if I say Vikings, Packers, Niners, Cowboys? You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And that's without the two best teams in the conference.
And the weakest team is Dallas.
And the weakest team is Dallas.
Yeah. Not because of talent, just because of head coach, maybe?
The ginger.
Yeah.
I mean, if the playoffs started today, you'd have Packers-Vikings.
That'd be a good matchup.
Those are two teams that are good enough to play in the Super Bowl.
Oh, of course.
And then you would have the 49ers in Dallas, and the 49ers would kill them.
Yeah, but Minnesota – you know, it's going to be a tough haul for them. They lost their running back for how long? I don't know.
No, but they've got the Lions next. So,
yeah.
So they can beat the Lions without him. By the way, if you're in fantasy playoffs and in desperate need of an offensive surge, Alexander Mattison is your fill in for Dalvin Cook against a team that has surrendered, I think, the second most points to running backs in fantasy football.
Good Lord.
So pick up Alexander Mattison. That's what I'm telling
That's
you.
That's a little tidbit from Corey.
Yeah. Look, I don't know if Kirk Cousins is good enough to get you to the promised land, but a lot of the other parts of that roster are.
Exactly.
So, and, you know, gosh, I mean, the Seahawks are good enough to be in the Super Bowl. The Saints are good enough to be in the Super Bowl. The 49ers are good enough to be in the Super Bowl. The NFC is absolutely loaded. While the AFC outside of Baltimore kind of looks like it's trying to put things together with duct tape right now.
Yeah, they are. If you look at it, Baltimore and New England are 1-2. Baltimore has the tiebreaker. So right now they have home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Pull up the Patriots schedule and tell me who they've beaten. I know we try to discount the Patriots every year, but this is a different-looking Patriots team.
Yeah. Well,
it just is.
They beat Pittsburgh.
Without Ben.
No. That was with Ben. They just had Pittsburgh numbered. Yeah. Pittsburgh can't beat them no matter what.
So Steelers,
the Dolphins, I mean, the Jets. The Bills was a tough game.
Yeah, and they barely won.
They barely won that game. The Redskins, the Giants, the Jets, the Browns, and then they lost to the Ravens. They beat Philadelphia 17-10.
Philly's a fraud.
Yeah. Cowboys are 13-9, I think, you know.
But the Cowboys are just an average team with good talent.
Exactly. But there were a controversial call at the end that was not tripping. I don't know what they were calling.
Yeah, so they barely beat the
they
Cowboys.
They barely beat the Cowboys. And then they lose to the Texans.
And that game was not as close as the score.
Yeah, Texans. I don't think the Texans had any fear of losing that
game.
They handed it to them. So if you're looking at their schedule, New England's schedule, they hadn't been tested.
They're kind of like Clemson.
Exactly. They're a good team, but they really haven't been
they
tested.
They found a way to win a lot of games, and so we should never count out Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
But they got the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Bills, and the Dolphins.
Yeah,
I mean,
so they're probably going to be 13-3.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
I think the Chiefs will beat them this weekend. And that game's in New England. But I don't see how they can score enough points to keep up. I mean, they're going to slow them down a little bit because their defense is good. But like right now, if you can score 22 points or more, I don't know how the Patriots get to 23.
It's going to be tough for them. Now, what the Titans, here's the thing with the Titans, because now they sit at the seventh seed. They are tied with Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh has a better division record, I believe.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's going to fall.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh is going to fall.
The Titans need for New England to lose one more time. If New England lose one more time, they need for New England to continue to win. Baltimore possibly continue to win or lose, because then Baltimore has to play that last game
against the
Pittsburgh.
Steelers in week 17.
Absolutely. If New England loses, Baltimore, if they continue to win and they come to that last game, they're pulling everybody. They're not playing anybody.
Mace, the Steelers have to go to Arizona
I think that's a win versus Arizona.
I know the Arizona's lost like five in a row. The Steelers are not that good.
Their defense is good, though.
It is good, and Mike Tomlin's done an awesome job. Mm-hmm. But I'm just telling you, I'm not going to be surprised if the Cardinals walk out of that game with a win.
Okay, here's the If I know John Harbaugh will be, if his team continues to win, he will be coach of the year. He should be. The way they put together that offense.
His ability to be flexible and change makes him absolutely.
He or Kyle Shanahan should be coach of the year, one of the two.
You're missing Brian Flores.
You know Brian Flores,
Brian Flores has won three games while his team is trying to lose.
No, you're absolutely right. But I'm looking at Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
With what he's been able to do with this team.
The adversity.
Exactly.
Losing your three best offensive players at the three most critical spots.
And if they make the playoffs, you could say between Flores, Harbaugh with him, his flexibility, and Shannon, those are the four guys that you would say would be candidates, top candidates for coach of the year.
Harbaugh's going to have to blow it. Let's say it the way.
He's going to have to. His team's just going to have to fall apart the next four games because what they, like you said, what they've been able to do with that offense, him being flexible, he made the right move with hiring Greg Roman because Greg Roman last year was a hot commodity. Everybody wanted Greg Roman.
Yeah.
And they signed him to a contract.
Because he coached Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco and understood how to work with that kind of quarterback. So he deserves credit for hiring the right guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then telling him, we're going to be different from everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I'm not afraid to change in a sport where a lot of coaches do not want to change.
Oh, no, they do not want to. And you could kind of sort of say that about, you know, now looking at it, we were trying to figure out, you know, with Vrabel and Robinson, with them hiring Arthur Smith as an offensive coordinator, a guy that never called, you know, a whole game. I don't know. He might be called a play or two here and there, but he's never called. It's never been his responsibility to call an offense. And what they said was, listen, we are going to hire from within because we trust that, you know, in what we're doing, he has a rapport with Marcus. They love him on the offensive side of the ball. We're going to keep the continuity here with the offense. We don't want to change Marcus. We don't want to add somebody else he hadn't gotten used to. They kept him. They struggled early on, but we know why the struggles were. And now they've picked it up. So you can say Mike Vrabel, too, if this team makes the playoffs. You can say him, too, can be a candidate. He, too, can be a candidate, sort of, because – The way I look at this is that we basically said after so many games, the Titans making the playoffs. Their offense is just horrible.
After six games, I thought the season was over.
But he kept those guys together.
Yeah, I agree.
They found a way to get that offense going again.
Mm-hmm.
You got to credit him as well as Arthur Smith, but you got to credit him also to saying, listen, we're not changing anything. We're going to continue to do what we have been doing.
Yeah,
we just need to do it. We need to do it better.
They
changed the quarterback, yes.
Well,
but we need to do it better.
They emphasize the run game more. So, yes. But you know what? Keeping everybody moving forward, keeping everybody believing, you know, they're all the marks of a leader and a good head coach, and he does deserve credit for stemming the tide here, facing the storm, getting his team through it to the other side. Now he's got to finish.
Exactly.
That's the big thing. He's absolutely got to finish, and we will see if they can come up with that. And they are going to Oakland. And here's another stunner. I thought when a couple weeks ago, I said the Titans are going to be favored in one more game this season, and that was Jacksonville. Well, they're playing so well right now, and the Raiders have fallen on their faces so poorly. The Titans are actually favored by 3 points going to Oakland. So Vegas... You know, if you'd bet on this game, if you could have got a line on this game a few weeks ago, you could have gotten the Titans and points.
So that's a seven. That's almost a touchdown favorite at home.
Yeah. Well, yes. Because if they're a 3-point favorite, they get three more for at home. They'd be a 6-point favorite over the Raiders at Nissan Stadium. More people are starting to look at the Titans. You know, and it's easy to do that when you win 5 out of 6 games.
Yeah.
But you know, as I say, the reality is the schedule is still very difficult. They're going to have to play very, very well to find a way to go 3-1. All right, NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame shows. Start your morning off with the kickoff from 11 to 1 p.m., followed by the NFL pregame show featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders, live from George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday from 1 to 3 prior to the Titans taking on the Oakland Raiders. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumbleon.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boom Boz. We are at Sudden Service in Nolensville, 629 Nolensville Road. Come on down, drop off some toys, drop off some clothing, drop off some school supplies, get yourself a free cup of coffee, and don't forget to enter for that Nashville Predators Winter Classic jersey. Corey Curtis and Derek Mason, this is the Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 7:32 in the a.m., Nashville, Tennessee. Corey Curtis with Derek Mason on the Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Braden Gall, where's Braden today?
Braden's dealing with his grandfather, grandmother. They are
his family issues.
Coming toward the end of a long fulfilled life. So he's
Always happy to fill in, mm-hmm. and always it's excited great. To sit in with Derek Mason. And God, gosh, we've known each other a long
Goodness
time.
Goodness gracious!
You got some gray in the beard.
Yes,
I am.
You cut yours off. You don't even grow it.
I got it on my chin now. Okay. But you know, I'm looking good. I got like just a little gray hair on the side. That is it.
Hey, man, if you can hold off,
I'm like the Bob Barker, Ronald Reagan of Nashville TV.
Your hair is perfect, man.
Is it?
Yeah. I think you know what, and I know he's listening, and he gets mad. He gets mad. Your hair looks better than Darren's. Darren gets so mad when you say something about his hair.
Well,
Darren McFarland.
He
quaffs
it, but we can't argue about the color.
Yes, he got the gray, still gray, and he rocks it well. But if you say anything, if you say someone's hair is better than his, he gets upset.
You didn't say mine was better.
I did. I said you got your hair's better than Darren's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I won't fight you. I appreciate it. But, Darren, we love your hair and your Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, absolutely. Your Browns are. They're trending the other way, and it's not good.
Okay, look. So the Browns basically shot their season losing at Pittsburgh. They're mm-hmm. they're done.
Well, they started off wrong by losing to the Titans.
They had a chance, though, to make a run here, and they lost another game that they probably should have won. Uh-huh. They need to go to Pittsburgh and win. And I think it's a very – when you look at the culture mm-hmm. around Freddie Kitchens and what's there in Cleveland, it is very fair to question if that's going to be a one and done. And you combine – and this is where I'm getting mm-hmm. – you combine that with Ron Rivera mm-hmm. being fired – and I think there will be a race to fire other coaches to go get Ron Rivera.
Ron's a good coach.
Ron's an excellent coach.
Ron's
5 playoffs in 9 years.
Absolutely.
Super Bowl.
Taking his team to a Super Bowl.
Multiple quarterbacks. Did it with multiple quarterbacks.
And it's almost sort of unfair to him, but I guess, you know, because it sort of happened to Fisher. When you've been at a place for a long time, and there's this kind of you start off good, you end bad, or you start off bad, end up good. There's always that: should we fire him? Should we not? He's been here for a while. And then when you just have that bad season where people get hurt, that's their excuse.
You mean
that's
Cam Newton? Excuse.
Exactly.
I mean, you lose your starting quarterback, and you've got this undrafted rookie that you're rolling out there.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on.
That's their excuse. I think it happened here. When you know when Fisher finally left, it was like that team was hobbled, and they had that was their sort of excuse to kind of go a different way. Well, Ron Rivera, that's the excuse for the Carolina Panthers to say, you know what? Thank you, Ron. You're a great coach. We love you, but now we need to go in another direction.
I think they just want to do a total reboot.
They want to get rid of Cam,
yeah, and they're going to,
you know, they want to build the offense around McCaffrey,
and so I think they want a total reboot. You know, people say why fire Rivera now, and I believe them when they say, you know, it's out of respect to him that we don't want to start a coaching search while he's still here,
uh-huh.
and so we wanted to, you know, we want to get his head start on the coaching search, uh-huh. and we didn't want to do that behind his back.
But then it gives him an opportunity,
too. Yes, and that's why I've said. And now you've got teams like the Giants mm-hmm. and the Browns, who I think are going to look at their head coaches really hard mm-hmm. and say, wouldn't we really rather have Ron Rivera?
Freddie Kitchens is not the answer in Cleveland. He's just
they're
not.
A disaster.
And he,
they're a
and
disaster.
He compounds it.
Yes.
With the T-shirt. And
because, you know who he reminds me of? Rex Ryan.
Yes, absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
And look, Rex lives here. I see uh-huh. I see Rex at the Y all the uh-huh. time. And, you know, Rex matured some, but there's only so much cavalier bravado off the cuff you can do as a head coach.
Exactly.
You have to be boring to, at some level. You have to be calculated. You have to be consistent because you have to build this culture of the next play.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a culture of the next play in Cleveland.
No.
They have a culture of, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my mind and I'm just going to act out of impulse.
Mm-hmm.
And then my head coach tells me it's okay because he's going to wear this stupid T-shirt mm-hmm. after a horribly ugly incident.
Exactly. And it's just, you're just adding fuel to the fire. You are, because you've covered, you know, football at the NFL for a very long time. And you know that the one thing head coaches do not want is bulletin board material. Now, whether it changes the complexity of the game or not, probably not. But
look,
you don't want it someone to come in with an extra motivation.
Look, you know the NFL. Mm-hmm. And the NFL is about managing egos.
Exactly.
It's about getting 53 guys all pointed in the same direction and understanding that that end point is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not their agent, not their girlfriend, not their entourage,
mm-hmm.
but that end point and focusing on that end point. And when a team gives you bullet point material, they highlight the end
exactly.
point.
Exactly.
And that
Absolutely.
Helps your team focus further on the end point. That's why you don't want bulletin board material. And you're absolutely right, and that's bulletin board material. But it's also not focusing on what's important,
Absolutely.
Which is what's next. You're focused still on what happened in the past.
Absolutely.
And I don't care if his daughter gave him the T-shirt.
I'd have told my daughter,
zip
listen,
up your coat.
I would have said, baby.
Daddy's
I
job
will,
is bigger
yeah,
than this.
I will wear it, not now. Zip. I would wear it around the house. But I'm not wearing it out because it's bigger than me.
Yes.
This is about the team.
And
I can't do it.
And that's the whole thing of understanding that things are bigger than you. I have a hard time when players don't understand it,
mm-hmm.
and I really have a hard time when head coaches
There's no
don't
excuse
understand.
For a head coach, you know,
no.
for him not to understand.
He's not
and
a head coach. That's the problem.
You're right. And that's why, you know, kind of tying it back here to Nashville, that's why I like Vrabel. Is he an X's and O's guy? I don't think he's an X's and O's guy.
He is a guy who coaches players
exactly.
very well, and a guy who is a leader of men.
He's been a part of cultures that win.
Yes,
he knows what that looks like. And if you're not bought into that culture, he will replace you. He doesn't have a problem with replacing you because he understands that. Listen. You can have a personality. Everybody can have their different personalities.
Yeah.
I understand that. But when we step into that building or when we step across that line on Sunday or Monday or Thursday, we all have to drop those things at the door. They all must be left in the locker room because when we go out here, we need to play as a team. And that's what he's gotten these guys to do. He's gotten the Eagles are gone. I'm not saying he's gotten even Taylor Lewan. Before, Taylor was – even though Taylor still has his moments, but Taylor, he's corralled a lot of these guys to whereas they're not doing all of this other stuff that's going to take attention away from what they're doing on the football field.
Well, look, this team knows what's important, and that's
uh-huh.
winning.
Exactly.
I mean, when they don't win, that's what they're focused on. And I think, you know, largely that's the culture that they've built, is mm-hmm. that they need to win. And so we talk about these guys like Freddie Kitchens who aren't head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who is a head coach? Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
Ron Rivera is a head coach, and he'll be a head coach. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, if somebody got him as a defensive coordinator, that would be the offseason of the year
yeah.
in the NFL. But I don't think anybody's going to get that chance because there's got to be somebody out there that's going to hire him to be their next head coach. Now, whether it's Cleveland or the New York Giants, I don't think it's going to be the Jets because they want crazy Adam Gase out there for some reason.
I have no
The Jacksonville Jaguars could be another great fit
yeah.
for Rivera because they could use discipline.
Yeah.
And Ron Rivera is a disciplined guy.
I think Denver, too. I think that
You think they could do another one and done?
Yeah, but I think they
They're terrible.
Yes. I just think they are and John Elway, his tail is on the line, too.
What about Chicago? He's a Bear. I'm from Chicago. Ron Rivera's a Bear.
It's not necessarily – I don't blame the head. It's the quarterback. And, you know, maybe you draft another quarterback.
But part of the problem with the quarterback was the way the head coach handled him to start the season. He put way too much on a guy who wasn't ready
yeah.
for it. And they got away from the run game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was good against Detroit. If that Mitch Trubisky can show up from now on, the Bears are going to win a lot of games. But I don't think there's a lot of people who have a lot of faith in that. They've got the Cowboys Thursday night, and that's going to be very telling. How the Bears finish the season could be very important for their future and what they, in fact, decide to do. Because if they decide to blow out Mitch Trubisky, they may decide to blow out Matt Nagy and just do what the Panthers are doing, just start all over again.
Yeah.
But regardless, Ron Rivera, going to be a head coach somewhere, and if not, it's a huge missed opportunity for
it's
some
just
teams in the
where
league.
Will he end up? So it's and you know, a good thing we don't have to deal with that here.
No, that will not be happening here.
Because they've turned this thing around. Whether they make it to the playoffs or not, I still think they are a 9-win team. 8-8, 9-7, 10-6 is pushing it because of who they play at the end of the season.
Yep.
They got Houston twice and they got New Orleans. That's going to be three tough outs for them.
Yep. Three very tough ones that you got to look. You're going to have to win at least two of if you can take care of business in Oakland, where the Titans are a 3-point favorite. Hey, if you miss any of the show, we've moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify, or log on to thegamenashville.com to find our daily audio rate, review, subscribe today. We are at Sudden Service in Nolensville, 6029 Nolensville Road, where if you bring by toys, clothes, or school supplies, you get yourself a free cup of coffee. Check out the 1025 The Game tent just outside the building and get registered for that Nashville Predators Winter Classic jersey. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit about college football. Another college football playoff poll is out. Tennessee Volunteer bowl projections are out. And what are the expectations for Tennessee and Vanderbilt in the future? Because I think they're kind of a lot different right now. Corey Curtis with Derek Mason. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. 7:47 on this Wednesday. Corey Curtis filling in for Braden Gall on 102.5 The Game in the Morning Drive. Derek Mason is still here, though. Always reliable. Always has been. Always.
Will be.
Always. Do you remember every drop you ever had?
Have any. Corey, what are you talking about? I don't have any drops.
Like, I don't think you dropped many.
No, I didn't.
But
I can't recall a ball ever hitting my hands and then falling to the ground.
You know, we all love Drew Bennett.
Uh-huh.
But I still see in slow motion that drop in New England.
Oh, man.
Because that was you guys should have been in the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah. I remember the call. I remember the play.
Well, it was fourth down.
It was fourth down.
Like,
I was in the inside.
26, right?
Yes, fourth and it was seven. No, it was 17 seconds left, something like that. It was the last minute of the game. I think it was 17 seconds.
Look,
he had just made a big catch.
It is negative
on the
13.
Sideline. He had just made a big catch on the sideline.
It is negative 13. Jeff Fisher has frozen snot all over his mustache. It's the coldest I've ever been in my entire life. You guys are out there in no sleeves. And Sunshine's over there snagged two balls on the sidelines that were absolute rockets from Steve McNair. And then he's standing there, and the defense is closing in on him, but there's nobody on him.
No.
And
I run a clear route, and Drew comes underneath me in an in route, 15-yard in route, 10, 12, I think it was a 12-yard in route. So I clear everybody out. Safety in the corner goes with me. Drew runs a really good in route. And at 6'5", he's standing there. And I'm just like, yes, first down, we kick a field goal, we win.
And Steve puts it on him.
He goes up. And it just hits us. And this is probably one of the most sure-handed catchers in the National Football League at that time.
And like I say, there are guys closing in on him, but when you slow it down, you can see it hits his hand, and there's nobody on him.
And I just was like,
and I don't mind. And like I said,
and
Drew
went to the sideline. He just felt so bad.
He was such a good player for this team.
But you know what happened? Here's the thing. You know why that game was so close?
Because you guys had to punt from your the 30?
Because at the beginning of the game, we tried to do it one way. We tried to throw, because that's the year we were throwing a football around and all this other stuff. So that's
it was Steve's MVP.
Yeah, so that's what we were doing. We were trying to throw the football around in that weather against that team.
You got Chris Brown involved.
Yeah, and then we went back to the run game.
Yeah.
And we started to dominate when we went back to the run game. And it opened up what we were doing in the passing game later on. So.
That was Eddie George and Chris Brown in the run game that day. What always struck me is you guys had gone on to Anderson as your field goal kicker, and his range was about 43 yards.
Yes.
And I remember you were inside the Patriots 40. I think you were at like about the 32-yard line, and Jeff Fisher elected to punt. And I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We're sitting here in the playoffs, and you're punting from the 32.
Well, isn't that the year we went to Baltimore?
Yeah.
And
yes,
he kicked a 40-some yard field goal.
And it barely made it.
But it was close to almost a 50-yard field goal. But it went over.
Yeah, it was probably about 45. Yeah.
So it was like, let the guy kick the field goal.
Yeah, but it was frozen. It's the coldest I've ever been.
Oh, that game was cold. I'm like, why are y'all people sitting out here? Because I couldn't do it.
You know what? I have always have said that you guys are amazing at the level you can perform in just crazy conditions. Look at the Packers and Giants this last weekend. It's snowing sideways.
Goodness.
And they're out there putting points on the board, no sleeves on, and just rolling.
But sometimes those are the funnest games to play in.
I know, but it's still amazing.
Yeah.
It's still amazing to see the level of performance. It is.
Oh, well, you have to.
Tennessee's level of performance, and we're talking about the Volunteers.
Yes.
To finish the season, very, very impressive. 7-5 and headed to a bowl game. There are, you know, different projections on where they're headed right now. I see a lot of Tax Slayer Bowl. I've seen some Outback Bowl. I would think the Outback Bowl is probably a little further than they belong. But you know what? That's not for me to decide. Haven't heard Music City Bowl at all. We will hear from Scott Ramsey from the Nashville Sports Council coming up at 9 o'clock talking about that bowl game. Louisville, Mississippi State are two teams we're hearing about a lot. For that one right now. But where the Volunteers go, we do not know. It will not be the college football playoff either.
No?
The college football playoff poll came out last night. Mm-hmm. Ohio State from your Big Ten, still number one, followed by LSU. Clemson, we can dabble into Dabo if you like. And then the Georgia Bulldogs are at number four. I think the important thing is, as we look at those standings, is as we head into conference championship weekend, is I think everyone feels like the top three can all lose and will still make the playoff.
Yeah, but I think the team that if they lose, we will question Clemson because of their division. Yeah, they hadn't played anyone. So if they do lose, do I think they will be out of it? Probably not. But people would question whether Oklahoma or Utah is a better one-loss team
than
Clemson.
Think that their conferences are good enough for you to question the defending national champion.
Yeah, you're right.
I think they'll get the benefit of the doubt. And that takes us to Dabo, who's been on kind of a two-week hissy fit. But, look, I don't think any of these things happen by accident. I think all he's trying to do is set the table for the scenario we're talking about, where he's trying to set the table where if they somehow lose to Virginia, his team still gets in.
Exactly. And rightfully so. But that would be the one team that if they do lose, people would then start to question, well, the schedule's not tough, the division's not tough. Yes, they are one of the best teams, but they didn't have to prove how good they were this year other than the North Carolina game where it came down to, North Carolina.
How good is North Carolina?
Yeah, I mean.
They're not.
I know. So that would be a bad look, for Clemson if they indeed do lose. But the four best teams right now, I think, are the four that are at the top right now. Clemson, Georgia, LSU.
But Georgia's not getting in.
And no, if Georgia beats LSU, they're in.
Well, yeah, but do you think they're going to beat LSU? I don't.
No, I don't think they're going to beat LSU.
I don't think they can score enough points. Fromm isn't good enough.
No. And their defense is good, but
Fromm
LSU
should have come out last year. Fromm cost himself a lot of money.
Well, he did. He sort of did the Matt Leinart thing. Was it Matt Leinart? No, it was what quarterback? It was a USC quarterback where he chose to come back another year and end up. His stock dropped tremendously. I forget which quarterback it might have been. So one of the quarterbacks that decided to come back, and things just kind of – he slipped. I think he might have slipped out of the first round. But the talk – here's going to be the dilemma. If Georgia does lose to LSU, which I think they will, then who gets in, Oklahoma or Utah?
Yeah. I think right
Oklahoma has to play Baylor, which Baylor's a really good team. Utah plays who? Oregon?
Yes.
In their championship.
So two teams in gold and green.
Exactly. Now, if Oklahoma wins, Utah wins, should Oklahoma get in ahead of Utah? If Georgia loses, well, right now, Utah's ahead of them at the fifth spot. Oklahoma's at the sixth spot.
Yeah.
If I look at it, I'm saying the better team is Oklahoma.
Yeah.
The better defense, obviously, is Utah.
Yeah.
The better schedule, Oklahoma. They had the tougher schedule. And if they beat Baylor again, which is a top 10 team,
yep.
They would have beaten them twice. They would have beaten a top 10 team twice. Mm-hmm. Granted, it is the same team, but a top 10 team twice in the matter of what? A month.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they then not in if indeed Georgia loses?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, and it'll be up for debate, Utah or Oklahoma for that fourth spot. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's much question beyond that.
No, I mean, if Oklahoma loses, Baylor, you know, Baylor wins, Utah wins, then
there will be fighting in their conference championship matter
for the top four.
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about Utah and Oklahoma, is their performance? You know, we obviously win or lose matters, mm-hmm. but how convincing you win, does that matter in week 13?
I think it does. I think that's the one of the reasons why Alabama chose to play Tua in that game where they shouldn't have played him. And I've said that. I said that before the game, and I'm saying that after the game, and it has nothing to do with the injury. You know why? Because they wanted to put up points. They wanted to show the committee.
They were down a loss.
We are the best team.
They understood.
That's why you look at, you know, when the rankings came out some weeks ago, that's why everybody looked at Clemson and said, oh, watch out. I forgot who they were playing. Watch out such and such. Clemson's third. They're going to put up a lot of points because they want to prove.
Listen, I was in Vegas a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I went to the sports book and I bet college football, and a lot of my bets were based on who needed to win impressively.
Uh-huh.
And I went 7-1 because I knew teams needed to pile on points.
Yeah.
And they absolutely did it because you know, the eye test absolutely matters. Well, Heather Dinich from ESPN is going to join us on the other side here as we talk about the college football playoff rankings from last night. And we'll delve a little bit more into this Oklahoma-Utah conversation with her. We've got that all on the way this morning on The Morning Drive. I'm Corey Curtis filling in for Braden Gall with Derek Masons. Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville Live feature. Matthias Ekholm and Matthew Oliver. We will be in Cool Springs at Brewhouse South, and the show starts at 7. A limited number of autographs or pictures will be available, so be sure to get there early. Wednesday night's Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Yeehaw Brewing Company, and Red Spirits and Wine. This is The Morning Drive on ESPN's 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.